Acha. Now company, that this is the definition of the company. What is company means? Any Indian company. First of all, it is an Indian company because we are talking about India ka tax, so it should be an Indian company or a company which is performing in India. ठीक है, एन इंडियन कंपनी और एनी बॉडी कॉर्पोरेट और इनकॉर्पोरेटेड बाय एनी अंडर लॉ ऑफ द कंट्री आउटसाइड इंडिया और एनी इंस्टीट्यूट एसोसिएशन और बॉडी विच आर और एसेसेबल और वॉज एसेस्ड एज कंपनी ऑफ एनी असेसमेंट ईयर अंडर द इंडियन इनकम टैक्स एक्ट और विच इज वॉज एसेसेबल और एसेस अंडर दिस एक्ट एज अ कंपनी फॉर एनी असेसमेंट कमेंसिंग बिफोर ऑन द फर्स्ट डेट अप्रैल 1970. So this is all are included in the company. This all are included in the company. It may be incorporated in India or not incorporated outside India, but they are doing some kind of operation here. So they will be coming under the companies, under the definition of the company, and the government of India will be imposing tax depending upon the nature, whether that company is resident or non-resident. Whether it is resident company or non-resident company, tax will be imposed on both. But the thing is, the resident company has to end up paying more tax, whereas the non-resident company end up paying less tax. This is the only difference between them. Whether the company is resident company or non-resident company, both has to pay the tax, but the resident company at the end, end up paying more tax as compared to the non-resident company. Similarly with the person also, individual also. If the person is individual is resident, he end up paying more tax than the person who is non-resident. So we are now going to talk about resident and non-resident. This is a very important area where income, when we talk about direct tax, this is playing an important role, because if you are imposing tax, first we have to find out the residential status of that person or of the company. So what is the condition? Since we are doing individual ka, the direct tax which we are doing right now, we are of the individual, not of the corporates, not of the company. So we'll talk about the individual, not of the company. So the resident and non-resident, before calculating the, before assessing the income of a person, first of all, of an individual, first of all, we have to find out whether that person is resident or non-resident. I repeat, sir, what is the importance of that? What is the requirement of that? Whether he is resident, you have to pay, you have to impose tax on that, both the person. Yes, we have to impose tax on both the person, but there is a slight difference in the that imposition rate for resident and non-resident. Resident end up paying more the tax and non-resident end up paying less tax as compared to resident. So what are the conditions? You should know the condition that he is resident. What are the conditions for the resident and non-resident? So under section 6, under the clause 6, under section 6.1, there is a rule which is imposed, but there are certain criteria which is made, which is fixed by income tax reform, which makes the person, which helps the government to decide whether he is resident or non-resident. So what is that rule? Please jot it down while I am explaining it to you. For resident, to become a resident of India, I am not talking about citizen of India. Citizen has nothing to do with the tax ka part. For taxation purpose, we need to know resident. Even Sachin Tendulkar sometime becomes non-resident. So you will say, hey, how come, sir, Sachin Tendulkar is an Indian, so he should be resident. So I'm not talking about Indian. If you are saying Indian and non-Indian, you are talking about citizen. Citizen of India, not a citizen of India. So you are talking, I'm not talking about the citizenship. I'm talking about resident. Resident and citizenship is different thing. Don't mix it up. Okay, so for imposing tax, resident and non-resident need to be taken care. For imposing tax, resident and non-resident need to be bifurcated. The person who is resident, the person who is non-resident. So why it is important? Because the taxation level, the imposition percentage of tax, the burden of tax differs from resident and differs for resident and non-resident. Okay, so to become resident, there are two conditions. If you fulfill any one condition out of it, it is you can say that that person is a resident of India. Now, what is that condition? The very first condition in the previous year, as I told you, that there are 2 years, previous year and assessment year. Previous year is the year in which you have earned the income, full year, right? And in the assessment year, you are assessing the income, you are totaling the income, you are finding the taxable income which is earned in the previous year. ये साल बैठ के हम पिछले साल का इनकम कैलकुलेट करते हैं. दैट इज सो यू शुड बी फेमिलियर विथ दिस वर्ड प्रीवियस ईयर एंड असेसमेंट ईयर. यू आर फेमिलियर विथ, बट स्टिल वी नीड टू नो दिस फॉर डायरेक्ट टैक्स का कैलकुलेशन. सो इन द प्रीवियस ईयर, से फॉर एग्जाम्पल इफ वी आर राइट नाउ इन एनी ईयर, से एग्जाम्पल दैट यू आर प्रीवियस ईयर इज 2021 and 22. In that 1st April 21 to 31st March 22, you have earned income from various sources, from business, from salary, from house property, from other sources, from capital gain, right? So in that year, from 1st April 2021 to 31st March 2022, you have earned, right? And in this year, 2022 to 23, you are going to calculate the total income from various sources, and that becomes the taxable income, and on that you are taxed. So for taxation purpose, first decide he is resident or non-resident. So in the previous year, 2021 to 22, in the previous year, if the person is staying in India, the first condition, if he fulfill this, yeah, there are two conditions. Any one condition the person has to fulfill. If he fulfill any one of these two, he is resident. So what is that first condition? If he resides in India for more than 182 days in the previous year. If he resides in India for more than 182 days in the previous year, then he has fulfilled the first condition, he is resident of India. Right? If any person who resides in India, who is staying in India in the previous year for more than 182 days, then he is called as resident of India. He is called as resident of India. Please write it down while looking at this video. Please keep on writing the points, okay? Right? You are writing now with me? Yes or no? Okay, thank you very much. So please write it down. First condition, as per under section 6.1, what is the first condition? To be resident of India, the person has to fulfill any one condition out of the given two conditions. The first condition is this. Second condition I have not yet explained. I'll be explaining you, okay? So first condition, what is the first condition? That the person on whom the tax is supposed to be imposed, if he is staying in India, residing in India, if he has stayed in India or reside in India for more than 182 days in the previous year, he is resident of India. He is resident of India. Suppose he is not. See, the government who want to impose tax, he wants that the person should be resident in any condition. उसको रेसिडेंट बनाओ. क्यों? क्योंकि रेसिडेंट से हम ज्यादा टैक्स ले सकते हैं, नॉन रेसिडेंट से कम टैक्स ले सकते हैं. तो गवर्नमेंट का फायदा किस में? रेसिडेंट होने में. तो अगर वो 182 डेज नहीं है, 182 डेज मींस इक्विवेलेंट टू सिक्स मंथ अगर वो रहा तो रेसिडेंट है. कभी कभी सम टाइम व्हाट हैपन यू नो, इफ द स्पोर्ट्स पर्सन, सपोज इंडियन क्रिकेट टीम, दे आर गोइंग ऑन अ टूर. फर्स्ट दे वेंट टू साउथ अफ्रीका, फ्रॉम साउथ अफ्रीका दे वेंट टू ऑस्ट्रेलिया, फ्रॉम ऑस्ट्रेलिया दे वेंट टू न्यूजीलैंड, from New Zealand they went to some other country. So this has happened for 8 months in the year. 8 months they are in the tour, and they came back to India after 8 months for World Cup in 2011. So I'm giving an example. So in that case, the whole Indian team is non-resident because they are not staying in India for 8 months. They are outside, na? So they are not staying. So it is a loss for the company in government, na? Loss of revenue. So the government started thinking, oh, If this is the only one condition criteria for resident, then there is a huge loss for the revenue in the revenue of the Indian government. So let us make one more rule, so that if he is not satisfying this rule, if he is satisfying this rule, then he is also resident. So what is the second rule? In second rule, there are two parts, A and B. In second rule is for those people who are Indian citizen, but they have gone out for their work. And for more than 8 months, they are outside India and they came back after 8 months. So in that case, 182 days ka criteria is not fulfilled by them. Okay, so what they are doing, well, then the government decided they have made another rule, A, second rule. Second rule may A part. He should be in India if the person is in India for more than 365 days in last 4 years preceding previous year. Means what? In the previous year, you are not there for 182 days. Okay. But you are not there in 182 days, but in the preceding 4 years, preceding previous year, 2021-22 chhod do, uske upar ke 4 years, in the 4 years preceding previous year, if you are staying in India for more than 365 days, that is one condition. And in the previous year, you stayed in India for 60 days. In the previous year, instead of 182 days, you stayed in India for 60 days. And along with this 60 days, in the last 4 years preceding previous year, if you stayed in India for more than 365 days, that means you fulfill both the conditions. Then also you are resident. Otherwise, you are non-resident. If you fulfill any one condition out of the given two, then you will be called as resident of India, or else you will be called as non-resident. I hope you understood. Once again, condition, I am repeating it for you, my dear, since you requested me. Yes, you only requested me, na? I can see you that telepathy is very strong between you and me. You are watching me, the video, but the message has been passed to me. The telepathy is so strong, that's the reason I'm explaining this part again. What is that? That for resident of India, an individual has to fulfill any one condition out of two. So the first condition, in the previous year, if the person is residing in India, staying in India or residing in India for more than 182 days, equal or 182 days, then he will be called as resident of India. Acha, 182, if he is not staying in India for 182 days, he stayed in India for only 90 days or 95 days. So the government, there are many people who are going for out of India for some any reason. It may be many, there are many reasons. They are not in India for some 3 to 4 months. 3 to 4 or 5 months. So in that situation, the first condition is not fulfilled by that company, for that person. So the government of India want that every person should come under resident category so as to impose more tax. Because resident pay more tax than as compared to non-resident. So the government has imposed another condition, second condition. Now what is second condition? If that person stayed not for 182 days, but if he has stayed in India for more than 60 days, then second condition, the first part is clear. He has satisfied second condition, the A part. There are two part condition in second, A and B. Okay, so what is the first condition? A, he should be in India for more than 60 days in the previous year. Along with 60 days, if he stayed in India for more than 365 days in last 4 years preceding previous year. If he fulfills 60 and 365, both the condition, that makes him resident of India. So anyone, one or two may A and B. Anyone, one or two may A and B, both. A and B both. If he is fulfilled, so he become resident of India. Otherwise, he is a non-resident. Why government has made this second rule? Because they want more and more people to become resident so as to impose more tax. I told you in beginning only that resident end up paying more tax as compared to the non-resident people. Okay, fine. So, I hope you understood. We'll move on to the next part. Achha. Now, in this chapter, we are also supposed to talk about the capital asset. Now, what is capital asset? The asset which you have purchased for your long run use. You have not purchased it with an intention to sell it in a shorter period of time. You have not purchased it with an intention to keep on selling it. For example, if I say car purchased by me, it is a capital asset. But if I am a car dealer and car purchased by me, in that case, it is not a capital asset. It is goods. It is a current asset. The asset which is purchased by you for a longer period of time, say you are going to use that for a year by year by year by year. It is not purchased for the reason of selling it. It is purchased with an intention to use it for a longer period of time. Such assets are called capital assets. Such assets are called capital assets. Now, but capital asset is bifurcated into two parts. They are bifurcated into two parts. Which are they? Long-term capital asset, short-term capital asset. Now, what is long-term capital asset? How you will define and how will bifurcate the assets into long-term and short-term? If the asset is utilized by you or used by you for more than 36 months, I repeat, if any asset, any capital asset is utilized or used by an individual or by a company for more than 36 months, I repeat, 36 months. I would have also said 3 years, but 3 years makes you, creates a confusion because you people don't count the month. You people only see the year. Suppose I purchased a property on 1st October 2019. Okay? And I sold it at for 2021 in the month of January 2021. So, sir, 2021, 3 years, sir. So, it is long term. No. Please count the month. When I use the word that if the asset is used for more than 36 months, in that situation, you will think of the month. If I say asset is used for more than 3 years, it is long term. If I say use the word year, it is a psychology of everyone that years. So they will see only year 1921. So 3 years. So in that situation, you end up mixing it up and saying it is a short term or long term. Though it is a short term, but you are selling it because you have just compared the year 1921. So 3 years. That is the reason in the definition it is given so as to keep you alert that it is not 3 years. Don't say 3 years. Say 36 months. When I say 36 months, you will take the month 1st October 19. So in the October 19, so October, November, December, and 3 months. Then from 20, 12 months, and 21, 1 month. So it is 36 months? No. But year is showing 19, 20, 21. Year is showing 3 years. But the year, but when you count the month, so when you will realize that when you are counting the month. So that is the reason in the definition people, in the tax card textbook, which comes from the ICAI, it is written 36 months. They will not use the word 1 year. Okay. So the asset which is utilized for more than 36 or more than 36 months, it is termed as long-term asset. The asset which is realized or utilized for less than 36 months, it is short-term. Before 36 months only, you have sold that asset. Maybe some reason may be there. Okay, you have sold that asset. Then that is termed as short-term asset. So what is capital asset? The asset which you are not going to purchase it again and again. You purchase it for with an intention that you are going to use it for year by year by year. So if you have used it for more than 36 months, then it is termed as long-term capital assets. And if the asset is used only for less than 36 months and before 36 months you sold it off, then it is a short-term capital asset. Okay, so this definition is included in your topic. So short-term and long-term I have already explained. Okay, now in case of assets like securities, bonds, debentures, there the long-term definition asset is changing. What? If I'm talking about asset like securities, bonds, debentures, shares, so the asset that this type of shares, if they are held by you, if the asset is held by you for more than 12 months, then they are termed as long term. And less than 12 months, they are termed as short term. So in case of asset like securities, bonds, debentures, shares, there holding period is more than 12 months, long-term capital asset. If the holding period is less than 12 months, short-term asset. Other than security bonds and other assets like gold, machinery, building, land, furniture, if these assets are held for more than 36 months, equal to or more than 36 months, they are termed as long-term capital asset. And if they are held for less than 36 months, they are termed as short-term capital asset. Understood? Have you written this point? For shares, debentures, it is less than 12 months, more than 12 months. For other than shares and debentures, like tangible assets like land, building, machinery, motor car, furniture, fixtures, for that, if your holding period is more than 36 months, more than or equal to 36 months, it is long term. Less than 36 months, it is short term. Okay, so that comes to the end of this chapter. So what is the conclusion? The basic Indian, in this what we have learned, the basic Indian tax structure, direct and indirect. India has well developed tax structure with three tier: central government, state government and local. Income Tax Act 1961 provides you the machinery mechanism for levying, imposing, charging and appealing the tax assessment. Okay, so that's all from this chapter. I hope you understood this. This is the definition which you should know. That is the reason these definitions are covered in this topic. Thank you. I hope you have all enjoyed the session. Take care. We'll be continuing with the second chapter very soon. Till that time, have a break, have a Kit Kat. Thank you so much.